So again, as we hear these words of Jesus, they should bring us comfort. Maybe a couple of points to look at, that Jesus knew their questions, their concerns, their anxieties. Even before they spoke them, he knew what was in their hearts, and he addressed it with them. So for us as well, when there's things going on in the church and in the world and in our lives, our families, that we don't fully understand, and we have these questions, we're confused, disoriented, we can have confidence that the Lord already knows. And so that we can go to him with those questions and those anxieties, trusting that he will be there with us, answering and responding. And then the end where he says, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices, but your grief will become joy. This is the promise of hope. And this is the hope in which a Christian really should be living. That whatever turmoil, anxiety, grief that we face in this world, if we remain faithful to Holy Mother Church, obedient and docile, if we remain faithful, then our grief, whatever it may be, however deep it may be, that grief will become joy. Because we will be with the Father in heaven forever. And this is true joy. This is the source of all happiness and peace. This is the promise that Christ gives us. So we pray for that grace of perseverance, that whatever anxieties and troubles and discouragement we may be facing, that we hold fast to the faith and we hold fast to our hope. And then just to look briefly at the Acts of the Apostles as we continue this story. And it's good to look at it as a story, as this unfolding of a reality that St. Luke is trying so desperately to get us to see how the Spirit was moving and living and active in the lives of the early church. Remember yesterday that Paul was in Athens and he was trying to get into this debate, this intellectual argumentation with the Greeks, who were masters at this art of arguing. And they were scoffing and ridiculing them. And some dismissed them and said, yeah, okay, come back later, maybe we can talk. But there was no true openness of heart. And so he left there and he went to Corinth. And Corinth was famous for its immorality, its debauchery, its drunkenness, its sexual immorality. And this is where we have two of St. Paul's letters written to this church. So this community that was just awash in sin was able to come to the truth. Where these communities who maybe were not living in immorality, but their block was an intellectual block. They refused to accede intellectually to the truths of the faith. And I think in our own lives, we can see some of this, the reality of this. That the conversion of our passions, while the passions do cause probably the most disorder in our life, they're easy to overcome through prayer and fasting. But when our mind is hardened to the truth, it's very difficult to overcome that. And this is what St. Paul faced. And so he, like Jesus said, collapsed the dust off his shoes and went on to the next community. And so we pray for the grace to have our minds opened to the truth. Like St. Paul says, the renewal of our minds. But we also pray for prudence as we go out and evangelize, that we will face obstacles. We've been seeing it throughout the pages of the Acts of the Apostles. That every time they try to profess the truth and preach Jesus Christ and Christ crucified, they faced opposition. But they continued on. They didn't allow those obstacles to deter them. We should have that same zeal and boldness in our proclamation of the truth. Again, confident that the Lord is with us. That whatever trials and discouragement we're going through, the Lord is with us. And so we should not be discouraged by the obstacles of the world, but through humble obedience and docility to Jesus and to his church, we know that one day our grief will be turned into joy. Amen.